listening to Reality Wrap. I'm your host, Melanie. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Hey guys, thanks for tuning into Reality Wrap. Today I'm going to be recapping last night's episode of Vanderpump Rules, Season 11, Episode 2. I saw some people saying online that they thought this episode was boring, but I actually liked it because this is the first episode we get to see where Tom is interacting with the rest of the cast since the reunion filming from last season. So I actually liked watching it. I was super curious as to how the living situation between Tom and Ariana actually worked. So we did get to finally see that play out in this episode. I'm also really enjoying watching the after show for Vanderpump Rules because it really does kind of give you an insight into what they were thinking during a certain episode. In today's episode of the after show that they released on Peacock, Sandoval kind of goes over the evolution of the breakdown of he and Ariana's relationship. So let me just play you this clip of what he said.
Homebody is a derogatory term, but she just likes to
She's very much to herself.
Yeah.
I think it could be a symptom of what was wrong. You know, looking back, she would be very reactive. It could be me just having a good day. That would piss her off. And it made me want to go be around Schwartz or be around Kyle, where I felt more like positive energy. But that only further drew us apart. You know what I mean? Like, eventually I kind of gave up on trying. And it became this thing of like, I'm like, well, do you want to do this, 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 or this? And it's like, no, quality time is only this. Literally only very specifically taking a walk at 7:15 with Maya, you know, around the block. I'm like, no, it's sharing a moment, sharing an experience. I would want to do mushrooms with her. And she just didn't want to do them with me.
It was never about the drinking or the mushrooms. It's that you wanted to go and create new memories together.
Yeah, that hurt my feelings. You know, like...
You laugh. No, it just sounds silly on the surface, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
It is a special, sacred bond.
Okay, so I hate how Schwartz always has to clarify what Sandoval is saying. I don't know why he continuously feels like he needs to explain what Sandoval is saying. I don't know if it's because he's worried about Sandoval looking bad, which is going to further cause problems for the bar that they own together or what, but I kind of feel like Schwartz should just let him flounder because I feel like he's always going behind Tom and like picking up and trying to clarify. That being said, I also understand that people grow apart. And after that clip, he goes on to say that when he and Ariana first met, they were very adventurous together. They like to go out and do things all the time. Also, people change. That was 10 years ago. You were a lot younger. You are now in your early 40s. She is in her late 30s. Not that I'm saying you can't go out and be adventurous, but maybe doing recreational drugs isn't on the list of things to do anymore for creating new memories together. And the fact that he says it really hurt his feelings that she wouldn't do mushrooms with him, I was like, what the hell, Tom? First of all, hallucinogenics are not for everybody. I know for me, I tried them a couple of times back when I was in college and I was like, okay, these are not for me. I don't know if it was the people I was with or what, but I made a decision that, you know what? Mushrooms, not for me, not into hallucinogenics. Now, if you like to do them, that's great, but I understand that they are not for everybody. And the fact that he goes on to say that it hurt his feelings that she wouldn't do mushrooms with him. To me, that just shows how emotionally stunted he is. Somebody deciding that they don't want to participate in hallucinogenics or whatever it is that you want them to participate in terms of substances, alcohol, cocaine, marijuana, hallucinogenics, whatever it is, whatever their decision is, if they don't want to do that because of something that they believe in, how they feel, or whatever. How does that equate to that somehow hurting your feelings? It just doesn't compute to me. Somebody's decision on what substances they decide to put into their own body should not have any bearing on how that makes you feel. It's not about you. It's about them and their choices about what they want to put in their body. It's pretty clear that these two were no longer walking down the same path, and it was definitely time for them to separate. As to why that didn't happen before he decided to go and have a relationship with Rachel, I have no idea. Ultimately, he made a huge mistake, and he really does not seem to be taking any accountability for it. He does keep saying, I messed up. But then on top of that, he's also throwing in all these reasons as to why he did it. We don't need to hear the reasons why you did it. You did it. The reason you did it was because you couldn't be an adult and just break up with Ariana before you went out and decided to have another relationship. And really, that should be the end of his, I'm sorry, I screwed up. No, I'm sorry, but just, I'm sorry, I screwed up. Period. All right, let's jump into this recap. So we start this episode over at Tom and Ariana's house. Ariana is in her very messy bedroom. It looks messier than last episode, I swear to God. Tom is talking to his assistant, Anne, in the kitchen, and he tells her that he wanted to punish himself with penance and pain, and that is why he went and filmed Special Forces. That, and you needed a paycheck. He tells us that he and Schwartz are not okay and that he feels betrayed by his friend for talking badly about him on Jack's podcast. The nerve of this man to keep pointing out on how his feelings were hurt, how he's upset with other people over what they're saying about him and how he has actually affected their lives. I mean, he has essentially affected Schwartz's livelihood. They have invested all this money, pretty much all the money that they have, into this bar. And what he did is now affecting the profitability of their bar. I don't know why he cannot connect the dots. And for him to sit there and say that he's upset with Schwartz for going on a Jax's podcast and talking about the situation is just beyond me. I don't understand. I don't think that way. Now, in the after show, Schwartz does go on and say that he actually stuck up for Sandoval on Jax's podcast and that it was cut out, which doesn't surprise me because Jax hates Sandoval, so as we all know. So it doesn't surprise me that they would have cut out things from the podcast where he was talking positively about Tom. Anyways, he tells Anne that he wants to have a birthday party for himself. I guess because nobody else will throw him one. Also, I think he probably is doing this because he needs something to film. And at this point, nobody else has filmed with him or is willing to film with him. And my guess is that's also why he wanted to do it in the house, because we know that he's not allowed to go over to Schwartz and Sandy's. I guess he could have gone to another location or paid to go have it somewhere else. But according to him, he has no money. He's transferring money from one account to another account just to try to cover the bills. So it doesn't sound like he has a lot of options. So he tells Anne that Ariana is invited, but if she doesn't want to come, which obviously she's not going to come, that he offers to get her a nice hotel room for her to stay in if she wants to. Anne tells him that she will ask Ariana. Can I just take a moment to acknowledge how bad I feel for Anne, who has to be the go-between between these two? So she no longer works for Tom, and she has started a podcast, although she's only released one episode. I did listen to the one episode, and she does say that she actually used to work for both of them, and she absolutely adores Ariana, and she considered them part of her family because she worked with them for so long, and she absolutely hated being stuck in the middle of this, and it was super weird and awkward. And I guess at one point, Tom had asked her to intercept mail from Raquel before Ariana got to it. This is back when Raquel was staying in her mental facility and they were communicating via mail. And I guess she used to send letters to Schwartz's house and Sandoval would go by and pick them up. And then Schwartz said, no more, you're going to have to figure something else out. So he asked Anne to intercept these letters out of the mail every day or go check the mail every day before Ariana got up and went and checked the mail and pull out any letters that were from Raquel. Again, I don't know why he didn't just go get a post office box for a couple of months. They're literally like $30 for 3 months. So I don't know why he didn't just go that route. It's very odd how he keeps trying to pull everybody into his little tryst. He pulled Schwartz into the middle. Now, don't get it twisted. Schwartz is a grown-ass man, but we all know Schwartz has a hard time saying no. He's a people pleaser. Now he has his assistant going as the mediator or the go-between between he and Ariana, and now he wants her to go intercept the mail for him. I don't know. It's almost like he gets off on bringing these other people into his little affair or whatever this is. We get a talking head from Ariana where a producer is asking her what it's like to still live with Tom, and she says it's really awkward. I guess he has a white noise machine that he puts outside his door because he claims that things he was saying, which I guess from inside of his bedroom, were being overheard by Ariana and her friends. Ariana comes downstairs and Anne brings up how Tom wants to have this birthday party for himself and he wants to do it at the house and how he has offered to get her a hotel room. And she's like, no, that's inappropriate. And if he wants to have a party, he can have it somewhere else. And if there are people in the house making noise, that she's going to call the cops. I kind of wondered how that would have worked. Would the cops have showed up to a noise complaint for noise coming within the house that you're in? I would imagine this situation has probably happened before when you have two roommates and one roommate's being loud and the other one wants it to be quiet. I'm sure that wouldn't have been the first time somebody would have called the cops over that, but would they have even showed up or would they have said, you need to work it out on your own? This really isn't an emergency situation. I'm kind of curious how it would have worked considering Tom is half owner of the house. Maybe they would have said, okay, well, if it's past whatever the noise curfew is in that town, then they would have showed up. Otherwise, he wasn't breaking any rules. I don't know. Curious. We get a quick clip over at Lisa's house and she's getting ready for Pump's final night because she's going to be closing that restaurant after 10 years. Over at Sandoval's house, Jason, who I guess is the manager of his band, comes over and Tom tells us that he has lost a lot of friends after Scandoval. So he's really leaning hard into the friends that have stuck around. Jason asks him if he had talked to Raquel recently and he says, no, I haven't heard from her in a few weeks. He tells us in his talking head that he is very much in love with her still. Anne comes down to the kitchen and she tells Tom that Ariana said no to his birthday party at the house. Jason asks, does she even have the right to say no? She has people here all the time. Anne interrupts and tells him, well, Ariana did say that she would call the police, so it might not be a good idea to have the party here. Tom tells Anne to tell Ariana that he'll have everybody out by midnight. We then get to see Ariana and Lala meet up for smoothies. Ariana tells Lala how Tom wants to have his birthday party at the house and how she told him no. Lala tells her, Tom is allowed to have a party at his house. And Ariana tells her, that's true, but I can also call the cops for a noise complaint. Lala asks her, why would you do that? And she tells her, well, if it's loud and I need to go to sleep because I have stuff to do the next day, then I'm going to call the cops. Lala tells her, well, why don't you tell him to have everybody out by a certain time? And Ariana's like, well, it's funny that you said that because actually Tom said that he would have everybody out by midnight. And Lala makes a good point and says, wouldn't it be easier for you to just move out? And Ariana answers back, yeah, when the house is sold. So she breaks this down on the after show. So let me go ahead and play you that clip.
This is a very large investment that I've made that I saved essentially my entire adult life for. I don't know if anyone's heard about like Los Angeles rent lately, but if I'm going to be with a dog who's 50 pounds and a cat in an apartment, I'm going to be looking at paying, I know you pay a lot, I'm going to be looking at paying at least that because you also started living there a while back. So rent's higher now. You're paying a mortgage. And then for a long time, we were also paying the rent on something about her. So I don't know what kind of money Lala also thinks I have, but it's not really an option.
Now, at the end of the day, it's like I want to see my friend Ariana be in a good headspace. And she is. But a good headspace also means that you get to go home and that's like your safest space to regroup and like revive yourself from like everything that she's been doing, right? And you come home to a place that has his energy and like his stuff or his dirty dishes. And it's like, I just wanted to know why. And every time I asked that question, it was like, how dare you? It was a really f***ing weird season.
I get what Lala is saying here. When you go to your home, that is like your safe sanctuary. And I can only imagine what it was like walking around, or what it's like, I guess they still live together, walking around the house feeling like the presence of this person that you hate. Like, we know she hates this guy, right? And having a person that you hate in the same house as you, you're still financially tied to this person because you guys have this mortgage that you are both on. You both co-own this house together. For me personally, if his offer was fair and he was giving me market value for the house, I absolutely would have been fine selling my half of the house to him and taking my profit and going somewhere else because I couldn't imagine living with Tom Sandoval. Sandoval. Keeping the house or wanting him to move as well is just not that important to me. I don't need to make a point. Just get me away from him, right? And so I can move on with my life. So Lala asks Ariana about Dan, and she says that Dan has opened her eyes to maybe wanting kids because she never wanted to have kids with Tom because Tom wouldn't have been a good partner. But we also see a clip of her saying that she doesn't want to have kids because babies are gross. I do have to say that I am a little worried about her jumping into a relationship 11 days after breaking up with Tom, and now she's thinking about having kids with this person, or this person has opened her eyes to having kids. I get it. She's closing in on 40, so I guess biologically she might feel like she's getting to the point where she needs to have a kid. But she does have frozen eggs, so really she has some time. I just worry that she's not taking the time to really deal with her breakup because she jumped right into another relationship. Dan doesn't even live on the same coast as her, so she really doesn't know what it'd be like to be together with him all the time in a close proximity. I don't know. Maybe she's realized Dan is the one and she doesn't want to waste any more time, and that's why she has no problem jumping right into a relationship. For me personally, I would definitely take my time with getting back into a relationship. Would probably spend some time just being single and figuring out exactly what I'm looking for. But, you know, everybody's different. We're now at the closing party for Pump. We see a bunch of clips of Pump over the years and how it was a very big part of everybody's lives. We see Schwartz talking to Lisa, and they're talking about Schwartz and Sandy's. And he tells her that they basically had to clean up Tom's mess. And now the partners don't want anything to do with Tom, and that if he shows up to the bar, that they're going to close the doors. I'm not really sure how they could close the doors, considering Tom has a large stake in the bar, but I guess maybe they have a larger stake. I don't really know how that would work, but I feel like if both Schwartz and Sandoval have a large amount of money in the bar, I don't think they could just close the doors, right? I guess after they told Sandoval that he couldn't be there, he just checked out. And now Schwartz is upset with Sandoval that he didn't help come up with ideas on how they can weather this storm that was caused by him. And oddly enough, Lisa seems to kind of defend Sandoval. She's like, you know, you can't blame that on him. And I was like, yeah, actually, he can. Lisa tells Schwartz that he needs to talk to Sandoval. We're now with Sheena and Brock, and I'm not going to lie, Brock was kind of pissing me off this episode. Sheena's doing a remix of her old song Good as Gold for Emo Night that she and Ariana had DJ'd for in the past. She tells us in her talking head that she had to basically give up music after her last video from 2019, but that everybody loves a good reunion tour, so she's back. So does this mean that there's going to be more to her singing than just this remix that she just did? Or is this going to be part of the season? Because I kind of hope not. I know that's kind of mean to say, but I'm not really interested. She and Brock are talking after her one take recording that she did, and they're talking about how they're getting a nanny so they can start going out. We find out that Sheena has postpartum OCD and how she hasn't been able to let anybody outside of her family watch Summer Moon. I kind of understood because I was that way until my kids were toddlers. Only my husband's parents or aunts watched our kids. So I kind of get that. I feel like that might be kind of a standard thing, but she said it is part of her OCD, which I guess makes her imagine all kinds of bad scenarios that play out in her head, and she kind of can't get off of this loop. We now see Sandoval and Schwartz going to meet up for the first time in a while, I guess. Schwartz is there first, and he's waiting for Sandoval, and he's like obsessively chewing on his fingernails. And I was like, man, he must be nervous just to be sitting there like, chewing on those nails. Sandoval arrives and he gives Schwartz his shoes. Sandoval apologizes to Schwartz for the fallout that affected the bar and tells him, I had to go film because I was broke. And basically, he says Ariana had not been paying her part of the bills for months. And on the after show, she claims that he could not produce receipts for what he was paying for, so she wasn't going to give him money until he could show her a list of bills. So I guess before they refinanced the house so Tom could pull money out, they had a joint bank account and they would both put money in for the bills, and when the money would go low, they would both put the same exact amount of money into this account. But after they refinanced the house, that account somehow became Tom's. So I guess she didn't know where the money was going, which kind of doesn't make sense to me. She certainly had to know what her part of the mortgage was because she was on the mortgage. So she really could have gone gone on and made her partial payment directly to the mortgage company. You can 100% do that. I totally understand her blaming Tom for blowing up their shit, but that also doesn't absolve you of paying your bills, especially since your name is actually on these bills, especially the mortgage. For me personally, I would have made sure that anything that was in my name was getting paid. I wouldn't have just assumed that he was doing it. I would have been on the phone or going online, double checking these accounts to make sure stuff was getting paid if my name was tied to it. And honestly, I would have financially separated myself from him. I absolutely would have taken, and I know I said this already, I absolutely would have taken his offer, provided it was fair, to sell the house. I would have wanted to be financially separated from this guy as soon as possible because he just blew up his life. Who knows how this is going to affect his income? Who knows if he isn't going to be able to pay his side of the mortgage? Now the full side of the mortgage is on you, or your credit's going to be ruined just like his. So to me, I don't care that he isn't going to move and I'm the one who has to be the bigger person and move out. I would absolutely sell him my side of the house and get away from him, put him in the past, and move on with my life. Anyway, back to Sandoval and Schwartz meeting. So Sandoval tells Schwartz that Schwartz really hurt his feelings, that he went on podcasts saying that Tom is touring to live his rock star dreams. I was like, what? Schwartz tells him, listen, I understand that we asked you to step away from the bar, but if it were me, I would at least try to come up with ideas to help out the bar. This somehow offends Sandoval. Really, the nerve on this man. And he tells Schwartz that if he's resentful, to at least be resentful to his face. I just can't stand this man. Schwartz is like, listen, you just need to take it. The only thing that you should be saying is, I'm sorry. And that he cares about the bar working because they have all their money pretty much invested into it. Sandoval's like, okay, no, I really do care. I really do want to go into the bar and just ask what I can do. Schwartz is like, well, we'll get there. Honestly, Sandoval should be so grateful to Schwartz that Schwartz was staying with the bar and trying to clean up this shit show that Sandoval created for their business and is there to try and help save the money that they invested into this bar and make it profitable. Sandoval then asks Schwartz if he's going to stick with him, and he's like, well, I'm going to do what's best for me. I do hope Schwartz actually sticks to his guns and does what's right for him, because I really do still see him trying to explain things for Sandoval and kind of going behind Sandoval and cleaning up the dumb shit that he says and trying to explain it away. Maybe it's because he doesn't want the dumb things that comes out of Sandoval's mouth to keep affecting the bar. I'm assuming that's what it is, and it's not just him actually sticking up for Sandoval. I don't know. They really do seem to have this weird codependent relationship. We're now back over at Sheena and Brock's house, and their friend Tori's coming over, and they're going to talk about her watching Summer Moon. I guess her mom hurt her arm, so she can't pick up the baby, so they need somebody to come over a couple times a week and help her. Brock is kind of gross here and makes this comment about Sheena's inability to let things go, or OCD, or whatever she calls it. I was like, ugh. So she tells him to shut up, and he's like, why are you so triggered? And she tries to explain that it is hard for her to leave the baby with anybody, that this is really a big deal for her. Brock tells us in his talking head that he misses his wife, that before they had the baby, they could do all kinds of things, and now it's just hard for Sheena to get everyday things done because she's always asking, what about this and what about this? And then they end up getting nothing done. And it's like Brock doesn't understand how having a child really does change your life. It doesn't just change your life as a couple, but it changes you on a personal level. He clearly doesn't understand that she's going through something, or he doesn't care? I don't know. I don't know which one it is, but I'm glad that she has a prenup with this guy. Sheena tells us in her talking head that she really wants to get to a place where she isn't always worrying that something is going to happen to the people she loves, and that she just wants to enjoy the moment instead of all these things going through her head. And I really felt so bad for her here. You can see that she's really struggling with this OCD, and she just wants to live a normal life. We see Schwartz going over to James and Allie's house. She is going to do his birth chart. They show him around the house, and he tells us in his talking head that it kind of stings because he's no longer a homeowner and he doesn't know if he will be again. So they sit down and she goes over his chart, and she tells him that he has a very Libra chart, which is why he always wants to be the peacekeeper. And while they're sitting there, James receives a text from Sandoval inviting him to his birthday party. James tells him that he'll stop by. It's now the night of Tom's birthday party and the girls' emo night. James and Allie are driving over to Tom's, and they're nervous. James tells Allie that he wants Tom to essentially apologize to him for his betrayal by sleeping with his ex-fiance, even though he has totally moved on with Allie. I get why James is pissed, but at the same time, to call it the ultimate betrayal is taking it a little bit too far for me. Now, was it an ultimate betrayal to Ariana? 100%. But for James, I wouldn't use the word ultimate. It's not like Raquel broke up with him and he was sitting there pining over her. He had moved on and, in his words, found the love of his life. So I'm like, ultimate betrayal is a little bit strong. Yes, I would be pissed because kind of, what's the saying? You don't shit where you eat. So I get it. You don't hook up within the same friend group, but I wouldn't call that an ultimate betrayal. Over at Sandoval's, he's getting ready for his party. Jason's arrived and he tells Jason that this is the first birthday party that he's had where he hasn't drank, but he does have chocolate mushrooms. So there's that. Everybody starts to arrive, and really the only people who I recognize is Billy Lee. Not that I find it surprising at all that these guys have friends outside of the show, but it's just we don't normally get to see them on the show. But at this point, I guess nobody wanted to film with him, so this is who he's filming with. James arrives to Tom's, and Allie decides she's going to stay in the car because she doesn't have a relationship with Sandoval, and she cares about Ariana. James goes in, and he and Sandoval say hello. James doesn't know who anybody is, and some random guy comes up to James and is talking to him about the friend group and how Katie pushed him out of the group. I didn't know who this guy was. It didn't seem like James knew who he was either. James tells the guy, I came to talk to Tom. So this guy goes off and gets Sandoval. So he and Sandoval sit down, and James tells him that he feels like his big brother has gotten lost and how he was really expecting Tom to reach out to him. Sandoval apologizes to him and's like, listen, I was just overwhelmed. James asks him, are you sorry for betraying me? And Sandoval, for some reason, tries to bring up how James slept with Kristen after they broke up. And James wants none of it. He gets up and he tells him, I'm not going to talk about something that happened 10 years ago. And he leaves, but not before urinating on Tom's bush out front. Now, in the after show, Tom Sandoval did say that he did not care that James urinated on his bush because he had urinated on his bushes many times as well. So there you go. Well, guys, that's all I have for Vanderpump Rules. I will be back tomorrow with Sean for our recap of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So I will talk to you guys then. Bye.